Let us turn once more to Psalm 90. We will read together the entire psalm, and the text which we consider is the last verse, verse 17. Let us hear the word of God. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent to thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. Now our text. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, last night we assembled for worship to end the year of our Lord 2020 in worship and prayer, and to hear his word. And in our old year service, together as a congregation, we made the petition of verse 16, our old year's prayer. From the heart we ask the Lord that he would cause his work to appear unto us, his servants, that we might see clearly with the vision of faith what he has done in the year gone by, that we might stand in awe of his work, glorify him for his work, and by faith truly profit from all of the work that he has done, as he has sovereignly guided and controlled everything that took place in the year 2020. We now are back in the house of prayer. Now we turn to the next verse of Psalm 90, this pilgrim's prayer, and we take this last verse as our New Year's prayer. Our New Year's petition. Having seen the work of God, having been confirmed in our faith that God has worked powerfully in the year behind us, we now look ahead to the year that is before us, confident that the work of our God shall appear to us in the year ahead. And knowing also that he calls us to be busy in his work. The Lord calls us to work. He gives us work to do as his people, as those who hold the office of believer and are prophets, priests, and kings under the Lord Jesus Christ, as office bearers in his church. Whoever we are and in whatever state of life we are, we have work to do given to us by God, work to do for his glory on behalf of his covenant and kingdom. We have work to do. And so our New Year's prayer is, establish thou the work of our hands. Having seen thy work, and in reliance upon thee, for our God is the one who makes us able to serve Him. His grace is the source of all of the strength that we need for the work that He gives us to do. In reliance upon Him, having seen His work, and in dependence upon Him, we go forward into the work that He gives us in this year, with this prayer upon our lips. Establish Thou the work of our hands, because we can't establish it ourselves. We can do nothing apart from the Lord Jesus Christ or apart from His grace. But in Christ and through Christ, we can do all things. Our Lord who strengthens us for the work of our hands. Let's enter into this, our New Year's petition. Let's do so under the theme, Establish Thou the work of our hands. Let's notice in the first place our work, the work God gives us to do. Secondly, our petition. Our petition concerning that work He has given us to do. And finally, our confidence in the doing of this work in dependence upon the grace of God. Establish Thou the work of our hands, our work, our petition, our confidence. The text speaks of the work of our hands. Moses, the inspired psalmist, prays this petition to God, Establish Thou the work of our hands. And so we face the question, what is this work of our hands that the psalmist speaks of? Work here in the text is simply the generic Hebrew word for a deed that is done. And the hand refers to the instrument by which we do it. It is simply a reference to all of the tasks, all of the work, all of the labor that we engage in this earthly life, in our callings, in the covenant community, and as a Christian people in God's service. Recall verse 16. Where Moses prayed, Let thy work appear unto thy servants. That's who we are. And that word servants defines for us the work in verse 17. It's the work of service, the work we are called to do as the friend servants of Jehovah, the God of our salvation. It is the covenantal labor that is given to the believer in this world. Our relationship to God defines every other relationship in this world. Our relationship to God, our covenant friend sovereign, defines what we are to be doing in this life. We are given work in the service of our God. We are His covenant friend servants, whose great purpose and calling is to glorify Him with the works of our hands. We're servants called to work. That was the case for Israel. Remember the historical context of the psalm that we looked at last night. Moses wrote this psalm at the end of the 40 years of wilderness wanderings. This psalm arises out of Moses' very real experience of the hardships of leading the people of Israel during those wilderness wanderings. And so it is here. The historical context helps us understand the work being talked about. Israel had work to do. Israel had work to do as God's servant, as God's covenant people in the midst of the world. Even as they spent those 40 years in the wilderness under the chastening and chastisement of God for their sinful rebellion, yet as the servant of God, the elect in Israel had work to do. And Moses here brings that work now before the throne of God and asks God to establish that work. All of the work of Israel, the work they had as a covenant community, the work of learning and following the law and testimony of the covenant given to them at Sinai, that important work that we find emphasized in the first books of the Bible, that the Israelites were to teach their children the word of God and the ways of His covenant. You think of verses 6 and 7 of Deuteronomy 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. That was the covenantal labor of Israel as a covenant community. The work of the antithesis of being God's peculiar people, set apart from the other nations of the world, who gave testimony to the glory and the beauty of God's holiness in the way that they lived their lives, in the truth that they confessed with their mouths, the work of shining as a light in that dark pagan world in which they lived. The work of fighting the Lord's battles against the wicked nations that assaulted them in the course of their journeys Canaanward. All of this was the work of Israel. The work God gave them to do. The work of the office bearers in Israel. Moses prays this petition on behalf of God's people, on behalf of Israel, but he also prays it as an office bearer in Israel. Moses and the elders of Israel, how hard and difficult was their work of leading God's people through the wilderness, instructing them in God's law, judging their disputes, interceding for them before the face of God when they rebelled and complained. The work of Aaron and his sons in the priesthood. The work of offering the sacrifices for the sin of the people, administering at that time what was the chief means of grace, those sacrifices wherein was pictured the atonement of Christ, the sacrifices which were the picture book of the Old Testament, the means God used to direct His people's faith to the coming Christ. Joshua, that challenging work of leading the hosts of Israel in the battle against their enemies. Much and great was the work of Israel, and thus the need for this prayer. This may be applied to us now. There is work for our hands. We are the Israel of God. The Church of Christ is the Israel of God in the new dispensation. We are God's covenant friend servants, given by grace the highest privilege a creature can have, to serve God in covenant fellowship. God has saved us by His grace, powerfully brought us into a relationship with Himself, and God maintains and preserves that relationship by His grace alone. But now in this relationship of love and friendship that He has established and that He maintains with us, He says, "This is your calling. Glorify me by serving me and praising me." It's not how you get in a relationship with me. It's not how you stay in a relationship with me. This is how you live in the relationship that I have established with you. And this is now our privilege. Every single year of our earthly pilgrimage, this is our privilege. And this is how we should look at a new year. God has given me a new year so that in this world I may serve and glorify Him. We have work to do. And that must be in the forefront of our minds then. As we begin a new year, we must ponder the work of our hands that the Lord calls us to busy our hands in. God's calling to Israel in the wilderness was not simply to wander aimlessly about, nor is His calling to the New Testament church in the wilderness of this world to wander aimlessly about, to live for self, to sit on our hands till Christ returns. No, God has given us another year in this life because He has work for us to do in His service. And this work, well, this work is those ordinary things of life. Things that men call ordinary, but which God esteems highly. Our covenant work in our covenant homes. Husbands, wives, beginning a new year together. Commit yourselves to growing in grace together. To cultivating your marriage relationship together. Not just so that you can have a happier home, but so that you may glorify the God who has united you. That's your ultimate goal. You want to glorify God by living in self-giving, self-sacrificing love for one another. That's your work. God has called you out of darkness and brought Him into the light of His fellowship. Now you show your thankfulness to Him and your love for Him by loving one another. The work of our hands. Parents. Teaching, raising, training your children in the gospel of Jesus Christ and in the faith once delivered. That's the work of your hands. That's your covenant calling. Mothers, that work of caring, teaching, shepherding your children, how much work it is, how tiring work it is, but how beautiful that work is. That's your covenant work. There's nothing more important in all the world. The world, which pursues all of its vanities, laughs at that. because they don't understand Psalm 90. They certainly don't understand the middle of the psalm, which speaks about the vanity and the brevity of this life, the vanity of its pursuits. They go racing after careers. They go racing after riches. They go racing after the things of this world, which will perish. But that which is of true value is found in the life of God's covenant and the work that is of the utmost importance and that is most precious and that God esteems highly. It's the faithful work. Covenant mothers, covenant fathers, raising their children. Let's remember that as we go into a new year. Fathers, as you go back to work, why do you have a job? Why do you have a career? It's not just to get by in this life. It's not just to do well in this life. It's to serve God. God has put you in that job, and you're to serve Him in it. You're to work to provide for your family, yes. Your work to work, yes, to provide for the needs and the causes of the church, yes, but also see your job, your place of work as a place where you must serve your God and glorify Him. The antithesis, how we have that work today just as much as Israel had. Our society and our culture isn't that much different from the pagan world in which Israel lived. We are surrounded by all the heathen gods of American culture. We are surrounded by the idols whose names are mammon, fame, selfishness, and all the rest. And we are called to draw that line of the antithesis sharply, to walk in spiritual separation and distinction, shine as a light in the midst of the world. And that takes effort. It takes the effort of battling against our own sinful flesh, which wants to always cross that line of the antithesis and spend some time on the other side. That's the work of our hands. And then there's the work of our covenant community. The work of supporting and promoting the causes of God's covenant and kingdom together. The work of our hands is our work. Notice that the text emphasizes the collective nature of this work. It's our work. Establish the work of our hands, not just establish my work, but our work. And that presupposes that as a covenant community, we are doing God's work together. Think of the causes of the covenant and kingdom. The work of the body of Christ. In the local congregation and at the denominational level. The work of filling the different roles and filling the needs here in this local body of Christ. That's our work. The many different ways that we serve the body of Christ. That is our calling to glorify God in that way. Living in the church, in the fellowship of the church. Working on the committees of the church, serving one another, looking out for one another, not segmenting off into little groups or standing aloof from the life of the church, but being active in the church. That's the work of our hands. Standing out among our covenant work is the support and the promotion of the good Christian schools that God Himself has given to our covenant community. Let us enter into this new year resolved to support and to promote those precious gifts of God, whereby we teach and educate our children together. That's our work, not just some of our work. It's our work. The covenant community bands together to instruct our children in the fear of the name of God. That's the work of our hands that we have the privilege to be involved in. But perhaps there are some in the congregation that wonder, I don't know what my work is. Maybe some of the elderly saints think that way. It can be a struggle. My old age, what use am I to the body of Christ now? I'm very old. Why am I still here? My spouse has gone ahead into the heavenly Canaan before me. My body is weak. Sometimes the elderly saints in the congregation might even ask, why does the Lord still have me here? Because He has work for you to do. He does. And just because you can't do the things that you used to be able to do doesn't mean that you are useless to the body. You now occupy a new position in the body with new work to do. Let that never be minimized. Scriptures everywhere speak highly of old age and the wisdom and the experience that comes with it, and how the Scriptures call the young to heed the words of the aged. Job 12, verse 12, with the ancient is wisdom, and length of days is understanding. And that's why Titus 2 calls aged men to be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience, to be examples in the congregation. That's the work of the aged. Even if you might be not or no longer as active with your physical hands, there is much work for you to do with your experience, the wisdom God has given you. Going on in Titus, there's a word to the aged women. To be in behavior as becometh holiness, examples, teachers of good things. There's work. There's work for everyone in the covenant community. Children, there's work for you too. Your work right now is to learn and to prepare for the place that God will give you in the church and in the body of Christ. The most important thing for you right now, children, is the work of learning more about God, growing in faith, hope, and in love. So when you go to school, you go back, work hard. Work for God. He's the one who calls you to go to school and to do your schoolwork. And why do you do it? Not just so that you can get somewhere later in life or find a job later in life. That's important. But the main reason you do your schoolwork and you do it well and you do it with all your might is to glorify God. Same goes for catechism. How do you learn your catechism? Why do you put in the extra effort on top of all your schoolwork to learn your catechism well? For the glory of God, and so that you might prepare to do the work that He has for you in the church. Now, and when you get older. There's work. Work for all of us to do. Work for office bearers. Much important work, brothers who hold the special offices. God has given us the work being under shepherds and caretakers of His precious flock. And what a work that is. He's given to you elders the work of ruling and governing and overseeing this flock under the authority of Christ, our eternal King. It's not an easy task. It's one that requires much patience, much effort, much love, much prayer, much dependence upon God. And the deacons too. Your work of ministering mercy, of representing Christ the merciful high priest, is a high and holy work that comes with many demands. Hours, meetings, visits. It's tiring work at times, but a blessed work and a beautiful work given to you in this church. This is the work of our hands. But now, having seen what our work is, let's see the petition concerning it. The text is a petition. It is a prayer that we make concerning the work of our hands. In this petition, the psalmist asks God, establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Last night we saw that there was a petition concerning the work of God, that God would cause His work to appear unto His servants. Now, as we look forward into the new year, we have this petition upon our lips. We have seen the work of God. We understand that God is continuing to work, and now we hear His calling to do the work that He gives us. And we must pray this petition now. Establish the work of our hands. To establish simply means to put something in place so that it is firmly grounded and is fully functional. For example, what do you mean when you say, my business is established? If your business is established, that means it's up and running. It's on a stable foundation. It's fruitful and profitable. Things are going the way they're supposed to go. The results that you desire are being obtained. It's been firmly set on a stable foundation so that it's fully functional. That's what we're asking here in this petition. The basic meaning is, Lord God, make the work of our hands fruitful and effective, so that the work of our hands accomplishes what thou dost purpose with that work. Because we must always remember that as God's covenant friend servants, we are servants. We don't do our own work according to our own will. We do the work that God gives us. Our work is His work. We do it at His bidding, according to His word, as He directs. And so when we pray, establish thou the work of our hands, we are praying, Father, use me the way that you want. Use my work to bring forth the fruit that you desire. Make me an effective instrument in thy hands. And part of this petition then is also this: glorify thyself through the work of my hands. Thou hast given me work to do. Grant that I may now carry it out in such a way that thy name is glorified. That's the ultimate goal of a covenant friend servant of God. In everything that we do, to glorify God. And that gives us much needed encouragement in that work, because that's ultimately what defines a successful work. Work that might be called a failure in the eyes of men is not a failure if it glorified God. Office bearers, remember that. Sometimes the work doesn't bring forth the fruits we want. That discipline case doesn't turn out the way we want. That diaconal visit doesn't bring the results we were hoping for, and we easily become discouraged. But even in those cases, remember who is sovereign. Remember whose work you are doing. And when we do that work for the glory of God in dependence upon His grace, it's successful work. We ask, Father, establish thou the work of our hands. So let's apply that now a little more concretely. This is our New Year's petition. This is what we pray concerning all of the work. Think back on those few examples of the different covenantal labors that we have as a congregation and as individual believers. This is our personal petition as well as our corporate petition. Establish thou the work of our hands. We must pray this in our covenant homes. Not just New Year's Day, but every day. Because our work is every day. Mothers, fathers, pray this petition as you raise your children, as you teach your children, as you train your children, as you discipline your children, as you deal with the difficulties of parenthood, sometimes the perplexities and the questions that come with some of those difficulties in parenthood. Your prayer, your petition is, establish thou the work of our hands. You need to pray that because your calling is to do a work that's beyond you. No man or woman is sufficient for the raising of a covenant child unto God. We are so weak of ourselves and sinful besides. We must pray this petition in dependence upon God. Establish the work of my hands. Young and old, children in school, elderly saints at home, all the rest, whatever work we are involved in the covenant community, our prayer is, establish the work of our hands. The work that we do together as a community, the work of the church, the work of supporting and promoting the good Christian schools, the work of teachers in those schools, the work of school boards in the decisions and deliberations they have, in all of that covenantal labor. Our prayer is, establish thou the work of our hands. Let us all make that petition, not only concerning ourselves, but concerning the others in the covenant community. Establish thou the work of their hands and my hands, all of our hands, that we all might be fit instruments in thy hand, so that thy will is done, and thy name glorified, and thy kingdom propagated, and thy covenant brought to fuller realization. See, this petition is really, it's really a beautiful petition of someone who understands God's grace. Moses understood God's grace. And we, by the work of God's Spirit in our hearts, understand God's grace. Implied in the petition, establish thou the work of our hands, is the confession, I can't establish the work of my hands, and we together can't establish the work of our hands. In fact, all we can do of ourselves is mess up the work that thou dost give us to do. Because we are sinful. We are weak. We are fallen creatures. We are fools by nature. We are those children of Israel sinning and bumbling their way through the wilderness. Anytime Israel tried to do something on their own, they made a disaster of it. That's us. That's us. Moses experienced that. Moses understood that. Moses knew that from his own failings as an office bearer. Think of him striking the rock in anger, for which he was chastised with being unable to enter into the earthly land of Canaan. Moses knew his own sins, knew his own failures, and this petition arises out of that deep self-knowledge, that awareness of his own need, his own dependency upon God, a recognition that I am nothing of myself. And if I am to do this work that God gives me to do, I depend entirely upon him and his grace. As I live in this covenant fellowship with God, I depend upon the supply of his grace to live that life of thankfulness unto him, to do the work that he calls me to do. And so that must be part of our New Year's petition also, a confession. Father, I am insufficient for whatever thou wilt have me to do in the year ahead. Grant me thy grace. Establish thou the work of my hands, because I can't do it myself. That's the attitude of humility. The attitude of self-emptying that is pleasing in God's eyes. That shrinks us down and magnifies God in his glory. So that in all of the work that we his saints do, all of the work that the church does, all of the work that is done in the covenant community, he receives the glory. For he is the one who worked in us both to will and to do, the one who has given us the strength to do it, and the one who crowns the doing of it with the fruit that he desires from it. It's all for the glory of God. Let that be our comfort. Now to apply it especially to office bearers. To you men who are entering into the office this day. And look ahead to that hard work. And feel in your own hearts the sense of your insufficiency, your own weakness, and your own sin. Confidently make this your petition. Establish thou the work of our hands, of my hands as an elder, my hands as a deacon. And rest confidently in the equipping, qualifying, strengthening grace that is yours in Jesus Christ. Paul learned that in his ministry. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. God told Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, Paul says, will I glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. God uses weak means because weak means magnify His power and His glory. And that's an office bearer's comfort. We're weak means. We don't have to try to be anything else than weak means because we can't be anything else. That doesn't mean we don't fight our own sins. That doesn't mean we don't strive with all of our abilities to do the work well. We must. God calls us to that. But we're weak means. We're weak means in order that we may be vessels for the manifestation of God's power and strength and grace. Believe that. Rest in that truth. And that, men, will give you the confidence you need to do this work. And that brings us to the last thing that we want to consider for a moment, our confidence. This prayer is a confident petition. Establish thou the work of our hands, and the work of our hands establish thou it. You hear the earnestness in Moses' voice as he prays this petition, but you also hear the confidence as he repeats it, because he's certain that he will receive the answer to this petition. We pray this New Year's prayer with confidence that the Lord our God will hear us and will graciously establish the work of our hands. He will. We have to remember what establishing means. It doesn't mean that the work of our hands is always going to have the outcome we want, but it does mean that the work of our hands will have the outcome God has sovereignly planned. And God will use the outcome of the work of our hands for His greater glory and for the advancement of His kingdom. He will even use our failures for good. And so we trust Him and we go forward with that confidence. And that confidence is all rooted in the grace of God. And that brings us to the first phrase of our text. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands. As God establishes the work of our hands, He manifests His beauty. And the idea of beauty here is His grace. God's grace is His beauty. It's the beauty of who He is as the glorious, holy God. And as God works through His friend servants and accomplishes His work through them, He manifests His beauty. He manifests His grace. He shows that grace which is always sufficient. And that's our joy in all of the work of our hands. When we serve God as His covenant friend servants, we manifest the beauty of God, because in us can be seen the work of God. In us can be seen God working to realize His purposes. And that gives us joy. But to go back to our confidence. Our confidence is rooted in that grace of God which abides upon us. Moses speaks that way. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And yes, that's a petition, but it's a confident petition. Moses knows and believes that that beauty, that grace of the Lord does and will forevermore abide upon His people. And it's in the confidence of that abiding favor and power of God that we go forward and engage in all of the work of our hands. No matter what the new year brings, God's grace abides and His beauty rests upon His people. We go into that new year then trusting our Father that He will establish the work of our hands and bring forth fruit. He will give us the grace that we need. His grace abides forever. Ultimately, that brings us back to Christ, who is the fountain of that grace to us. Ultimately, our confidence is grounded in Christ, the captain of our salvation, who established the work of God's saving hands for His people. Christ, who yielded Himself up to the death of the cross to pay for our sins, to merit and obtain for us every blessing of divine grace. Christ, whose work is the foundation of all of our salvation. Christ, for whose sake God freely grants to us His grace in limitless measure. Christ is our confidence. Because of Christ, the beauty of the Lord abides upon us. Because of what God has done in Christ, the work of our hands shall be established. Beloved, brother office bearers, look to Christ. If you can sum it up and remember one thing, remember that. Look to and depend on Christ. In Him, the works of your hands will be established. Amen. Our blessed God and Heavenly Father, we needed this word because as we enter into a new year and as we enter into new work set before us, new challenges that must be faced, new hardships which Thou in Thy sovereignty wilt surely give us, we know how weak we are and how sinful and frail we are. We know our own insufficiency to do the work that Thou dost call us to do. And so we take the words of our text and we make it our confident petition. Establish Thou the work of our hands. Bestow upon us an abundant measure of Thy grace to qualify, equip, and strengthen us to serve Thee as Thy covenant friend servants in the midst of this world until Thou dost take us to Thy house of many mansions and establish us forever in the kingdom of Christ without end. We yearn for that. Grant us to be faithful servants and found faithful till our Lord returns to receive us to Himself. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.